How you doing, everybody? My name is Joe Vargas, and this is My Swift Journey Podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. How's it going, everybody? It's Joe here. It is Monday, September 14th at 12:26 in the morning. Wow, it's really late. First and foremost, I want to apologize for the bad audio quality of the previous podcast. Truth be told, I am in no way, shape, or form an audio editor or an audio editor guru. I recorded that one, that last podcast on GarageBand, and I've tinkered with GarageBand a year or two ago just to, you know, get my feet wet in it. So I just edited the audio as best as I could, as best as I remember of the settings and, you know, tweaks and adjustments. I did go on YouTube and learned a little here and there, and then after finding out that Adobe Audition was another favored choice of podcasters, so I looked into it, and I was gonna just buy that one software, and it was like $20. And I was like, well, I could probably use Photoshop and Illustrator. And that's pretty much another tacked on $40. So that's now a total of $60. And I saw that Adobe has all their apps for like $52. And I was like, well, I might as well just get all the apps. And the thing is about when it comes to me and paying for software like that, if I'm going to be like paying good money for it, damn well I'm going to be like pretty much committing to learning the software and getting the most value out of it. It's been a while since I've dabbled with Photoshop and Illustrator, but I think once I start dabbling with it again, I'll get good at it. I'm pretty sure a lot of things have had updates, new stuff to learn, but I'll get to that later. I am learning Adobe Audition simply because it's what I'm going to probably primarily use to record podcasts, which I'm doing now. It's what I'm using now. But anyways, I just want to get started with the show here. So on the last podcast, I think I talked about a few of my colleagues getting laid off. And I reached out to them and just pretty much, you know, said I'm sorry. Typical, you know, farewell type of thing. And, you know, just, I mean, what can you do? What can you say? Like nothing can, you know, reverse the decisions made. Can't get them their job back or anything. All I could just offer, you know, my, you know, sympathy. And I just told them that if they need to, if they want to, you know, they can just put me down as a reference. But it wasn't over. I had gotten through the grapevine and that I was that they were gonna lay off some more people the following day, and sure enough, they laid about 4 to 5 more people off, and most of them were just colleagues that I work closely with, ones that I, like, you know, work side by side with in the same department, same client. It was just, you know, a little it was uneasy. It was, it just sucked. Like, and it just felt like I was just so close to, like, damn it, you know, I'm next. But, I guess fortunately, the client that I work directly with that I'm contracted to, pretty much my role is secured, at least from what I've heard, for the next 2 days. Unless, like, I really, 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 really screw up and I get fired, or if I resign from it, you know, I think I should be okay. But, you know, just like everything else, nothing is for sure. It just, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking of getting into the oil and gas industry, I would reconsider, honestly, reconsider your options. Because, you know, I remember when I started with this company 8 years ago, I was told that, you know, oil and gas, when it's great, it's great, but when it's bad, it's bad. And it couldn't be more, you know, more true than it is now. In just a short amount of time, this current pandemic just turned everyone's world upside down, especially those in the oil and gas industry. And you know, honestly, it's one of the reasons why I don't ever want to work in this industry again. If I'm blessed to, you know, find something else outside of this industry, I can guarantee that I'll never come back to this industry again. It's really stressful. Like, you know, one day you're waking up having a job and the next day it's just, you don't. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I want to get out of this industry and, you know, never come back to it. Even if, you know, even when I do become an iOS developer, if there's an opportunity to join a company in the industry of oil and gas, I would definitely think, I'll probably decline it right away or give it, you know, really good thought on it, because I know what could happen. And this round of layoffs, it's actually probably probably the second one, maybe third, that I survived. The last one, about 24, 25 people were laid off in one hit. And, you know, this was back in 2016, 2017. And, you know, since then, the market recovered, the industry recovered, and it was looking good. It was looking nice. But then, you know, this pandemic hit in March, and, you know, there was layoffs in this company and that company, and then, you know, the big players and operators, they just started, laying off people. And again, it has to be a passion of yours to want to be employed or to have a role in the oil and gas industry. You have to be passionate, because it's uncertain. You never know. You just never know. And all I can say to those who are going to college to be an engineer for it, or, you know, a petrophysicist or whatever, you know, with your frame of mind and your goal to be an oil and gas, it's you're courageous, because I mean, I don't know, especially now in this pandemic, you see how the downturn of it makes me wonder if those who had the goal to graduate college and get an oil and gas, I just wonder if, you know, your frame of mind has changed, if you're second guessing yourself. I remember before the pandemic hit, I saw some interns and, you know, some college students walk in the halls of the company I'm contracted to, and I saw like their excited faces and all smiles and everything that, you know, they're going to be working here, and I just wonder if they have the same smile or what, you know. But it's, again, if you're listening to this and you're considering getting into the oil and gas industry, I would reconsider it, honestly. Because, you know, and one, it just takes one little pandemic and it'll turn your life upside down for sure. And I saw it firsthand with colleagues that I worked with for years. Really, really, really good workers who were really good at their jobs, who really depended on their jobs, who had families, you know, to support. And, you know, their lives are just upside down all of a sudden. So, aside from those layoffs, kind of had like an opportunity to speak with a web developer who is also a YouTuber, and his name is Andy Sterkowitz. You can find him under that handle in YouTube, and I'm pretty sure in other social media platforms. I've been a follower of Andy. He has really good, really great advice. He too was a self-taught developer who started around the time I did. I believe he started learning in 2014 and landed his first role as a web developer in 2015. And he offers great advice on YouTube, and I believe that's where he bases his business model on. He's a mentor, and he makes a living off of that. And I've been a follower of Andy's for about at least a year, if memory serves me correctly. So I just I decided that, and he offers to, like, hey, if you want to have a one-on-one with me, you know, just click on this link and sign up, and you know, we'll talk. And that's what I did about 2 days ago, because I was like, you know what, I need to find out what I'm doing wrong, or where can I improve, to, you know, have a better chance of landing a role as an iOS developer, whether freelance or, you know, full-time employee at a company. So he released a video, I believe, this morning or late yesterday in the evening. Not sure, but when I got a chance to view it, it was pretty much, you know, him explaining the challenges of being a self-taught developer. And pretty much everything he spoke about, you know, he pretty much hit the nail on the head. I could relate to what he was saying. And I think that's what motivated me to actually click on the link and schedule a one-on-one with him, a one-on-one call. And I had scheduled it for this Thursday. And not even an hour later, I got a response from him saying that that unfortunately that, you know, he is not really iOS mobile development focused. It was more so of web development. And that was unfortunate that he's pretty much looking for those who are looking into web development. But I do respect the fact that that he was upfront about it, and I wasn't led on type of thing. I am just, you know, a little disappointed that maybe, you know, even if I wasn't going to be a web developer, I'm not looking to be a web developer, I'm pretty sure he had some advice to offer me. But I understand. I'm not really, you know, upset or anything about the outcome of this situation. I will still continue to follow Andy. He's a great mentor, offers great advice. And if you are seeking to be, you know, any type of developer, even if it's not web development, if you're looking to be a software developer, if you're in your journey as well to become one, I highly recommend that you follow Andy. Again, his name is Andy Sterkowitz, and you can find him on YouTube. He has, again, he's been uploading to YouTube for like many years now, and he offers great advice on becoming a software developer. He's very, very motivational, and pretty much where I want to be. You know, he got a shot at becoming a web developer 1 year after he started learning, and that's amazing, because I've been doing this since 2015, a little over 5 years, and I have yet to land something. But that's okay. I feel as though something is on the horizon. I'm giving up, and not to digress or anything, but I feel as though every time, you know, I apply for something and I get shut down, I feel as though I feel the motivation and the strength that comes out of that rejection. Because, you know, one door closes and, you know, another one will open. And with that being said, I think about something that happened yesterday, Sunday. About a month ago, I was on Reddit. And there's a subreddit for Houston jobs. And I found a post from 4 months prior of a recruiter looking for developers, and specifically iOS developer. And I was like, well, this was 4 months ago this guy posted. What if it's not, you know, active anymore? What if he's not looking for one anymore, or whatever? But I don't know. I took a chance. And I sent the recruiter a message. I pretty much, you know, explained briefly my history of, you know, becoming a software developer, an iOS developer, you know, when I started to learn and what I know and what I'm currently learning at the time. And I basically had the mentality of, you know what, let me just, you know, like they say, shoot your shot, because you never know. You never know. He might not need one now, but I'm pretty sure he'll need, you know, one later. And that was my thought process. Like, you know, even though he doesn't have an opportunity right now, he can just, you know, put my name, jot my name down, and, you know, he can hit me up later. So, you know, I briefly explain how I started, what I know, and what I'm currently learning. and left them my information. And today, probably around, well, yesterday afternoon, I got a notification of a response, and it was him, the guy I messaged a month after I sent him a message. So he probably logged back into his Reddit account and he saw my message, and he pretty much said, "Hey, Joe, feel free to send me your resume." And he gave me his email. And I was a little busy at the time. I'm still working when I found time, the first opportunity after getting off shift, I emailed him, thanking him for reaching out, and attached my resume and sent it off to him. So, you know, if you have any doubt, any self-doubt, or, you know, like, what's the point of messaging, you know, somebody with just the mere chance? You never know. You never know, you know. I'm probably going to screw this saying up, but there's a saying that says you only miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And, you know, that's really true. You know, even though it was just a very small chance that this guy was going to reply back or be impressed with my progress so far, sometimes you just got to shoot your shot and just, you know, hope for the best. You know, because it's just like, you know, just like everything else, you know, the worst they can say is no, or, you know, thank you, but, or thanks, but no thanks kind of thing. So yeah, so looking forward to maybe hearing from him again. See how that goes. It's a recruiter, so you never know. These guys, they talk to a lot of employers. And I made it clear that, you know, I'm looking for an entry level or a junior level. So maybe he'll have an opportunity. Who knows? And if he feels that I'm qualified enough to, you know, be in a higher role, kudos to that. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up, and pretty much it's the a topic of the lack of appreciation. And it's a reason why I really need to I'm just looking forward to leaving my current role. Yesterday or Saturday, a couple of days ago, I had a client, I had a client, reach out to me. She was having some issues, identifying some features. So basically, my company released a new product that has a different user interface. And she was having trouble identifying some wells, some drilled wells. And the reason why is because the well names were not the actual readable, human readable well names. They were a standard well name per the company. And so just imagine, let me put it in perspective. So you have the hexadecimal color, and I don't even know the hexadecimal color of, Okay. The hexadecimal color of black, and I don't know off the top of my head, which I should, embarrassingly. Hexadecimal color of black, and I'll make a point. Right, of course, all zeros. So, imagine the color black. When you see the word black, you know the color. But for someone who's not familiar with hexadecimals at all, if they see the text pound sign 000000, you go in the middle of town, you ask them, you show them pound 000000, you ask them, what color is this? Chances are they're going to be like, I don't know. But you hold the text black and they're going to know what color it is. So imagine naming a well 000000. And this person did not know what well that was. And imagine having, three more wells named a hexadecimal type of naming convention. And she was pretty much irritated, understandably. She was irritated because I explained to her that this naming convention was agreed upon between my company and her company. And she just flat out said, well, this is bullshit. And at that point, when she cussed out like that, I knew right off the bat that I had lost control of the situation. I already knew that she was already at that point of frustration. She was upset. She was angry, and I understand. I completely understand, because I too find it ridiculous that that's the naming convention. But I knew for a fact that anything I say after that, to let her know that, look, that it's named that way because your company agreed with my company, your company wanted it that way, that wasn't going to fly with her anymore. So pretty much, because I am the face of my company, she let me have it, pretty much. She was angry. She used me as the punching bag because I work for the company that's pissing her off. And in a split second, I thought, wow, I've been with my current company for 8 years, and I never once until now had somebody just, cuss out like that in the conversation. I would have thought, I knew she was getting upset, but I thought she was going to keep it professional and not lose her cool. But she lost her cool. And apparently she is notorious for losing her cool like that. What? I just never thought that I would be in the position of her losing her cool like that with me. I've interacted with her previously many times, and we've had a very professional conversation. She needed help. I was able to help her, and to whatever she needed done, or she was having issues, I made sure she got the help she needed. And but this time around, knowing that it's something that I couldn't fix because it was, you know, quote unquote, it was bullshit of having hexadecimal, you know, complex naming convention to well names. And she pretty much had to look up, you know, a database of the name to find the human readable name of the well. Like, she had to take extra steps to find out what the actual well name was. And I understand that she had to go through an extra process simply because of a bad decision, a bad agreed decision, a ridiculous one, honestly. And I understand her frustration. It's just, I was just, you know, taken back by her just, you know, losing her cool like that. And then after, you know, I assured her that I'll do my best to make sure her feedback on this is conveyed to the right party so they can take into consideration making some adjustments. But it was at that, honestly, after that conversation, I just did not want to interact with anybody anymore from that company. Even if they're some of the nicest people, which there's plenty. Just the fact that she works there and she represents, she pretty much, you know, made my day, like, completely, like, I didn't want to deal with anybody anymore, no matter how simple or small the issue the next person was going to bring to me. I just did not want to interact with anybody after that. And it's the lack of appreciation to support personnel, people in my role. They're there to support the product that the company provided them. I'm not a developer of this product, because believe me, if I was, I would not have shipped out crap like that. And I call it crap because it is crap. There's, you know, bugs here and there. There's UI issues, user experiences, obviously, shit. But the fact that I work for the company that provided the software to her company, I'm expected to sit here and take it. And I'm, you know, I'm not designed that way, you know. And it's an extra reason why that I'm looking forward to leaving this company, because I'm looking forward to, one, passionately writing code, you know, learning to write code, building iOS apps for a company or for a client who appreciates my skill set, my drive, my goal-oriented frame of mind, and that they recognize that the passion I have to build iOS apps. I want to be with a, you know, work with a client or a company that values, that sees what I see, and that's, you know, me having this passion of coding iOS apps. I I look forward to this coming Wednesday because it's my first day off with 13 days that follow of freedom. And I'll get to get back at it, continue to code, continue to learn. And, you know, I usually lose some motivation when, you know, my time off. But best believe that I will be thinking about what happened with this client losing her cool the way she did. And it'll just motivate me to continue building projects, continue expanding my knowledge and working on my side projects, building my portfolio, and just, you know, continue to apply myself and apply to companies out there who are hiring. And just like the saying goes, keep on keeping on. Because I just don't want to be in this pretty much toxic environment where, you know, they think they have the right or the privilege to speak to people like that. You know, they should be professional, maintain professionalism, and express themselves and give feedback in a respectful manner. So yeah. Shout out to all those in IT and the support side of things, because I know now with the school year started and there's places everywhere that, you know, parents have their kids at home, and there's a lot of, you know, schooling from home, and, you know, that that requires, you know, support staff on the other side to assist, to help. And there are some parents out there who, you know, are frustrated, who are trying to balance, you know, working from home as well as, you know, assisting their kids with school. And you know, obviously they might, you know, kids are probably having trouble with the software or something's not running right, or login issues or whatever. And parents have to take time and call support and, you know, get through it. And, you know, some of these parents, you know, they're on short fuses and they get triggered easy, and, you know, they blow up on the person on the other end trying to help them out. Well, one of the things that you all as parents, it's understandably it's understandable that you're frustrated because of, you know, you got to balance it out. But remember, the person on the other side of that phone, they too are probably in the same predicament as you. And they're not yelling at you, but you're yelling at them. So you pretty much got to check yourself, because they too probably have it just as bad as you do. I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I appreciate you all listening. And those of you who are in the same boat as I am, aspiring software developers, self-taught ones, you're not alone. I am still trying to figure out on how to or what route I'm going to take as far as setting up some sort of social media account, an email or something, just so y'all can reach out to me if y'all want to, if you just want to email back and forth and just, you know that there's, you know, somebody else out there who's also struggling. Just know you're not alone. Until then, y'all have a good one. Talk to you next time. Take care.